It was a tough week. Actually, it's been a tough couple of weeks. You know, 2 weeks ago, Sean Park's father died, but the end results are great. He's in heaven. He was a believer. This week, Kathy Keene's nephew and Sean Park's cousin died, and he wasn't a believer. And the results are not good. And I believe that these two deaths apply to what we need to learn today. It was a week that I struggled. I was, you know, I know you guys think I probably have no problem. I just write sermons, you know. But I really struggled this week. And it wasn't until Joyce and I prayed together, which imagine that, you know, that things began to come together. And so as we go through the sermon this morning, which won't be very long, I think about Sean Park's father and the blessing and being in the presence of the Lord. Also think about Eric, who died this week and is forever separated from God. So we see in the story, the scriptures, just Seth just read us, that there's this shift in the story of Jesus and the woman at the well. She knows who Jesus is. And she goes and wastes no time getting back to her village. People who have shunned her and put her off because of her life. And she goes to tell them about Jesus, who is the Christ, because she is no longer more concerned about her reputation. She's concerned about their salvation. On the other hand, the disciples are still stuck on the physical. They come to Jesus and they're telling him he needs to eat because they know he's tired and weary after walking. And Jesus tries to get them to shift from the physical to the spiritual by telling them in the verses that were just read that he has food which they do not know. Well, it doesn't appear that really worked well, because the disciples get together and they go, well, who brought Jesus food while we were gone? They're still stuck on the physical. So Jesus goes on to explain to them in this passage that his food, what he is living on, is doing the work of God. And God has given him a mission to accomplish with his life. And we know that through the scriptures that Jesus was completely faithful to that mission God gave him, even unto death. So Jesus now goes on to explain to the disciples that his work, his mission, is harvesting souls for God the Father. So Jesus is telling the disciples that they too will proclaim Christ. They too will share the gospel, not just to Jews, but to the Gentiles and eventually to the whole world. When Jesus says that the harvest is ripe and it's white is the harvest, he is referring to the people of the nearby village in specific, the one that this woman went to talk to. And he's speaking of the world in general. So we set the stage where we're going to see that the Lord Jesus now, what he wanted to teach the disciples 2,000 years ago, he wants to teach us this very morning. Jesus is showing the disciples there are going to be great opportunities for spreading the gospel. Jesus is teaching his disciples that their mission is exactly the same as his mission, which is to bring people back to God. He's telling the disciples that they are to faithfully preach and share and model the gospel to the lost. Jesus, the Son of God, God very God, said this. He said, all authority has been given to me in and on earth. So Jesus has all authority, and where did his authority come from? It was given to him by God the Father. So what authority has been given to us? Jesus says he has given us his authority. We operate in his name. And it is by his name, and it's the scriptures, as Brother Rick said, that have power. Jesus said, we too have a mission, just the same mission as he did, the same mission as disciples. When he said, Jesus says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So in this passage, Jesus specifically tells us we are to teach the lost to observe all that God has commanded them. Whether they accept it or not is not our deal. We are to teach. We are to share the gospel and then let God do what God is going to do. And when Jesus says, all that I have commanded to you, he is talking about the breadth of the entire scriptures. The New Testament hasn't been reduced to writing yet, but Jesus is teaching these principles to his disciples. So it's all of it. Here in chapter 4, it's clear that he's telling the disciples, hey, it's not going to just be a thing for the Jews. It's going to be for Gentiles too, for the whole world. See, my beloved, is not the same task before us today? Are we not supposed to do just like the disciples? And actually better, at this point, aren't we supposed to do like the woman at the well? Jesus is commanding that you and I witness in our workplaces, in our homes, in our schools, everywhere that we are and everywhere that we go, we are supposed to be proclaiming Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And you might say, well, Pastor, I don't have the courage to tell Jesus. And I would tell you, you're right, you don't have the courage. The disciples didn't have the courage. That's the reason God gave us the Holy Spirit so we could overcome these things and do what he's asked us to do. You might say, Pastor, I don't have the time, I'm busy, I've got a spouse, I've got children, I've got work. It just takes all this time. Well, let me tell you, to be honest with you, sleep is highly overrated. When you have given your all to Christ, when you have served those in the name of Christ, when you have grown tired witnessing to Christ, when your head goes on that pillow at night, you will sleep and you will have a great sleep because you have served the Lord. You know, we need to take the time. We need to take the time at work to model and share Christ. We need to take the time at work to do the very best job of any employee. Because both of those things are witnesses to our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we need to take the extra few minutes to share the gospel and ask how people are doing with the grocery clerk. When you're filling your tank at the gas station, talk to the person next to you. This is what God asks us to do. When you get home, you don't open the garage door, run in, close the garage door, and hide from the world. You should talk to your neighbor if you have a chance and share godly things. And when you get home, even though you're tired, you don't turn on the TV. You sit down and you talk with your spouse and your children about godly things. You read scripture. You answer questions. And you talk about Christ because he's the one that gives us life. That's what Christ has called us to do. See, this morning I'm going to do something I've never done. And I'm hoping it will have the impact that I hope it will have. And I want you to think now about Dennis Parks, who died and went to heaven. And I want you to also think about Eric, who died and is eternally separated from Christ. God has called us to be part of those who sow and reap. Let's take a moment and pray and just ask the Lord to reveal to our hearts what He wants us to do and how we will be obedient. Think about Luke chapter 9, verses 36 through 38. And what we are to be as individuals and as a family and as a community. It tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that the gospel is to go forward to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. As we as a community look at reaching out to the lost with the gospel, it means the East Mountains. It means New Mexico. It means the United States, and it means the world.